Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 26 of Season 7 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1995 Bruce Willis action film Die Hard with a Vengeance, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me today is Lil Eddie O'Hare, from formerly of the DC TV Report. Welcome back to the show, Eddie.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. Haven't been on a microphone in a while, and it's nice to be back. Thank you so much.
Well, that's
because
you only
me.
Want to be on the Die Hard seasons. You know, you could have been on last season, but It's a Wonderful Life. No, it's not Die Hard. Doesn't have Bruce Willis. Doesn't have John McClane. I don't want to be on it. You know, you elitist. You Die Hard elitist.
Mm-hmm. No. That's not true. It was the, you know, scheduling conflicts. You know, money was in George's house and Harry's.
There you go. You
know,
that's right. That's right. You can make all the excuses you want, Eddie. That's fine. I always love having you on my show. It's great. It's great having you back for another Die Hard. And you were actually my first guest this season who's from New York, and it could be that you're the only one all season. I don't even remember. You might be the only real New Yorker that I have here. So, you know, we're gonna talk about some of the things that go on here, and we'll see how well you know Manhattan, even though I know you live in Long Island or Staten Island or one of those.
I live in Staten Island, but you know, I have spent ample time in Manhattan, and this is a very special type of Manhattan. This is August New York City, which is
Well, we established it's not August; it might be June. But June. I know you didn't mean it that way, but that's fine.
New York in the summer is especially hot and sticky and humid. I know a big theme of this season is trilogies, and, you know, like three movies that really capture New York in the summer to me are Dog Day Afternoon, Do the Right Thing, and Die Hard with
these.
Vengeance.
You go to these. Just,
yes.
You're a D-man.
Yes. Yeah. And there's a special kind of, you know, just that scorching hot yellow sun and the heat off the asphalt gives this, you know, thing. And, you know, there's those are the three movies where you really get that, you know, you can almost smell the heat coming off the screen.
It makes sense. You know, that's the way they did it here, and it works well. So, yes. Yeah, I like the way they did it. All right, so minute 26 begins with Simon hanging up and ends with Zeus doing an imitation of Joe Friday. So we ended things on Friday with Simon telling a nursery rhyme over the phone.
Yes.
And giving John and Zeus a little bit of a challenge and left them to basically have to deal with it themselves to try and figure out what's going on. What is this challenge?
Yes, that's the big feature with this villain, Simon, played by Jeremy Irons. And the St. Ives riddle, you know, this is the real this movie works really fast,
yes.
You know, especially with the 5 minutes that we're going to cover this week. And but just, you know, taking this minute to try to figure out that riddle, to me is, you know, one of my favorite parts of this movie. And this moment, especially, you see the dynamic that Zeus and John McClane work with, and just the chemistry that they have, bickering back and forth, trying to figure out what the hell this
means. And I mean, it always brings me back to the idea. I mean, I don't know if you knew this tidbit, that they were thinking of making this like a movie in the Lethal Weapon series. You know, where you had Riggs and Martel together doing this type of stuff. And I have trouble buying that would work instead of what they did here. Because it's good. I mean, you mentioned the fact that they have great chemistry, but it's because they don't know each other. But if you take two characters who already know each other, I don't think it would work as well with the back and forth.
Yes. And also, because to me, like, one of the big important parts of Lethal Weapon is Los Angeles. And Los Angeles is such a different city than New York. It's so much more spread out. And that, like, I it would have stretched credulity that they would have been able, I mean, just hear the idea of how fast that they have to get to places in New York, with especially in LA with worse traffic. I just they would have strained credulity that they would have been able to meet the
Okay,
same
that makes sense.
challenges.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
All right. So basically, we have John
Yeah.
and Zeus trying to figure out the riddle, and I'm gonna first just go through the dialogue because breaking up this dialogue won't work as well. So basically, Simon hangs up the phone, and then John goes, "All right, seven guys with seven wives makes shut up, McClane. I'm good at this. Seven guys with seven wives makes shut the f up, McClane." He said, "Seven wives with seven sacks. Seven times seven is 49. Now tell me the rest." "Seven wives. A sack with seven sacks with seven. Weren't you listening?" "Yeah, I was listening. I didn't hear every thing." "What the heck is wrong with you?" "Well, besides having a bad hangover for one thing." All right. Seven wives times seven, 49. With seven cats, seven times 49 is 343, right? What are you asking me or telling me? I'm telling you. 343 times 7 is 1024. 2401. That's what you got, right? Now let's try and break this down a little bit. I'm going to leave the rest of it for afterwards or whatever.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure Zeus's math is wrong.
It's actually not. His math is right. His math is right.
Okay.
Well, again, for the riddle, it's wrong, but the math that he does
Yes.
is correct. I did check his math. I'm not a math person. I use the calculator. Seven times seven is 49,
Well,
times seven is 343, and another time seven is 2401. That they did get right here.
yeah.
All right. But I love the back and forth between them here because Zeus starts off being very pompous and saying, "I know how to do this." And John is like, "All right, fine, you do it." And then Zeus gets upset at John that he doesn't remember everything that was said. Now, I don't know about you. If someone were to tell me this nursery rhyme, I would not remember it seconds later. To try and remember seven times seven times seven, I don't know if I would have figured out
Yeah.
how many. Because again, we saw on Friday that John and Zeus are not paying attention to what he's really saying because they don't expect him to only say it once.
Yes, especially and yeah, especially because he's McClane is running on coffee and aspirin. Yeah, and also just it's kind of throw like you're trying to figure out like it's people and cats and sacks are not pe are the sacks don't count, and you're trying to figure out where all of that goes in. And it's also kind of the craft of the riddle, not only because it's a trick question, because they want you to get caught up in trying to do all of that
Correct.
math. And this is excellent writing on Jonathan Hensley's part,
Yeah, I mean,
really getting that character dynamic, precisely. I agree with you exactly on that.
and like John's like, "All right, you figure it out, whatever it is, But I just love the fact that Zeus gets upset at him. The one point he tells him to shut up, and another point, he says it nicer also. He goes, "What the heck is wrong with you?" Which doesn't make any sense. Like, why would he use the word heck
yeah.
if he's already used the word a few times? It's like.
Yeah. And also because for Zeus, this is like you're telling me that there's a bomb and people are gonna die. And for, John McClane, this is just a Tuesday.
I agree with you on that, but we will get deeper into that idea because it'll show the difference between John and Zeus when it comes to that. But
Yes.
and we'll see that more I think tomorrow. I think it's when we deal with it. It
Yeah.
maybe it's tomorrow or maybe it's even on Wednesday. Yeah, I'm trying to remember. No, it is tomorrow. It's tomorrow. It's tomorrow. We'll get more into that. But you know, I just love the fact that Zeus is getting upset at John, and John doesn't really care. You know, he's like, all right, no problem. Take over. Do what you want. You know, and I loved the line where John says, "Are you asking me or telling me?" Now, this is a line that I've used with my kids so many times. You know, it's a big joke in my family that I use that line all the time. And I don't think it's from the movie. Maybe it is. But whenever they say something, they make a comment and it's like, are you asking or are you telling me? You know, like.
Yeah, that's very New York East Coast sarcasm. Yeah. You know,
exactly. But like mm-hmm. like I said, I mean, I can't do this math in my head, so I give Zeus a lot of credit for that. I like I said, I need to use a calculator for this type of thing. So, you know, kudos to Zeus on that one. You know, that, I mean, he is portrayed as a very intellectual person. So we give him, you know, give him credit for that with the way that he does that.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very smart. You know, and also the fact that, you know, it's funny bringing me back, you know, to payphones in New York, and especially this part of New York where there's so many distractions. You know, I mean, even just looking at that, seeing Gray's papaya in the background, just my mouth.
Yes, watering. We talked about that last week. That I mean, I've personally been at this spot where this scene is taking place. I'm assuming you've been there also.
Yes. Yes, yes, yeah, yeah, Grace Papaya. Yeah, Grace Papaya and Papaya King are the proper places, but there are also plenty of imitators out there. But yeah, is this, and I always get confused, is this Upper East Side or Upper West Side? Where exactly are they?
I think it's the Upper West Side, but I could be wrong. You're more of a New Yorker than I am.
Because that makes sense for where they're going. Although I think the Grays that I've been to might actually be on because I'm thinking of the
Frick. Well, this is the 72nd and Broadway, so I believe that's on the Upper West Side. Mm-hmm. But I want to go back to something else here. What Zeus and John get wrong here? They start talking about seven guys and seven wives, but if you go back to what Simon said on Friday, he said, as I was going to St. Ives, I met a man with seven wives. There's one man with seven wives.
That was actually what I was saying was confused. To me, it wasn't for a while, I wasn't sure if they were counting sacks as people when it's really seven sacks of seven.
Right. Kittens. Well, that's the thing. That's their mistake here because you know, it's every I met a man with seven wives. Every wife had seven sacks. Okay.
Yes.
And every sack had seven cats. Every cat had seven kittens. Kittens, cats, sacks, and wives. How many were going to St. Ives? So there's a fallacy here because, you know, he's telling them sacks. A sack is going to St. Ives. Mm-hmm. You know, so it doesn't matter. Even if the math would have been right with the 2401, they're counting sacks and they're miscounting men. You know, because there's one man.
Yes,
exactly. It's not a question. So So basically, I guess the true answer is 344. Again, if you're going along with what they're saying,
the riddle is intentionally misleading because it wants to send you on a wild goose chase. When really, of course, the answer is one. It's just some guy. And what's everyone else doing there? I don't know.
Yeah, it's the whole thing is a bit strange the way that they do mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
But oh well. Yeah, but again, so the math is right and wrong at the same time.
Yes.
The math is right. The what you're counting is wrong. I guess you can look at it from that perspective.
Precisely.
That's the crazy thing here, mm-hmm. which I don't know. And I mean, it's funny because then, you know, Zeus says to him, "Did I get that right?" And John just looks at him and goes, yeah. Yeah, that's what I got. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can clearly see that John is lying there.
Yeah, yeah, and I feel like he's just figuring, like, we're on a time crunch. We have like a minute, you know, and trying to talk it out, and you know, almost like he just wants to dial.
And if you're right, mm-hmm. exactly. And if you're right, so then it must be right.
Yeah,
that's what it comes down to. So I believe you. I believe you. I believe you. And at this point, then John picks up the receiver on the phone, and you see him put a coin in. So how much do you think it cost to make a payphone call in 1995?
Oh, I know exactly. It was 25 cents.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. That is correct. It used to be that they were a nickel back in the 50s, and then in the mid-80s, it jumped up to 10 cents. And then in the late 80s, they changed it to 25 cents.
Yes.
And I always find it interesting that they always use like one coin. You know, it's not like they would say, okay, we're going to jump it from, you know, 5 cents to 8 cents. You know, it's not like stamps, you know, that when they raise the price of stamps, then you have the little stamps going back to, you know, if you want to think about Fargo.
Yeah.
You know, the whole idea where she said to him, she says, oh, Your stamp is even better because, you know, whenever they raise the prices, they're going to still use yours.
Well, I can tell you because, you know, remembering, you know, because I could still barely remember using payphones as a kid, you know, and especially because my family were always late adapters to technology. So my parents, you know, didn't really have. I don't think my dad had a cell phone until his job required it.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, you know, I was probably about the time this movie was made. But I do remember using payphones, and I always remember that New York payphones specifically didn't take pennies. They took nickels, dimes, and quarters.
That's right.
And you know, and also that idea, you know, because, you know, they want, you know, the idea was that you would use one coin and, you know, instead of it's always easier because it's going to be easier to find one quarter than it is shuffling to find two dimes.
Right. Correct. Mm-hmm. So I just like the way that they do that. That's, you know, you just come, there's their. And just pulls out a quarter and, yeah. You know, puts it in. Mm-hmm. And as John is getting ready to dial, so then he goes, that's it. Dial 555-2401. And then John repeats it and goes, 555-2401. He goes, no, wait. And, you know, we can see that Zeus has, you know, you can see the little, I guess you could say either a lightning bolt or just a light bulb above his head, and he just realizes it goes, it's a trick. What? What do you mean? I forgot about the man. What man? We got 10 seconds left.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Zeus says, he said how many were going to St. Ives, right? The riddle begins, as I was going to St. Ives, I met a man with 7 wives. So you see, Zeus does know the riddle.
Yes.
But they were still counting 7 men. And he goes, the guy and his wives aren't going anywhere. And then John says, what are they doing? He goes, I don't know, sitting in the road waiting on a mo. And I don't know what.
Yeah, yeah.
We never find out what exactly he's trying to say there.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I'm wondering. I bet you, and I'm sure you have the screenplay in front of you. But I'm sure he's just trying to get through it. And you know, and it's just that rather, it doesn't matter where they are. You know, just sitting in a row. You know,
yeah, of course not.
Yeah, yeah. I'm surprised he wasn't using more colorful metaphors. yeah, yeah, and precisely, but yeah, that wry smile that he has once he figures it out.
Exactly, and it's great. I mean, Samuel L. Jackson plays this character. I mean, I love the way he plays Zeus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's hilarious and smart and a little bit spicy because of the fact that he's racist. You know, it's like it adds a little nuance to the way he acts,
yeah,
and to everything that he does.
Yeah, and what's funny, like, he's so well written and Sam Jackson, you could tell, just gets this character and understands him, that it's almost a shame that, you know, we didn't. Of course, you know, the way that the Die Hard series went, it didn't really make sense for his character to make a comeback. But I would have loved to see a standalone Zeus adventure. And, you know, I would have loved to have caught up with this character doing something else.
Yes and no. I don't know. It wouldn't have been the same type of movie.
Of course not. And it
you know, meaning you can't put Zeus in an action film, because it just wouldn't make any sense. It's not like this elevates him to the point where he can say, "Oh, I'm now an action hero and I can go do something."
No, but I
so it would be a movie about a guy, you know, trying to fix your oven. Because that's what he does.
But like I could have seen, you know, so, I could have seen that character in some kind of racial crime drama, or you know, just you know, I would have loved to see Spike Lee direct that character in some, you know, in some kind of drama going on in Harlem. I think basically I wish that I got more with this character, let's put it that way.
Okay, I agree with you on that, but I don't think you that Zeus works as a standalone.
Okay.
He works. The reason his character works so well is because of the back and forth between him and McClane throughout the whole movie.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. But it would, to me,
in some ways he could be a very boring character otherwise.
Okay. I don't know if I agree with that, but okay. We can agree to disagree. But his performance is so memorable. I wish we could have gotten more of it.
Right. Okay. I agree with that fact. It's just a question of how they could have, you know, how they could have wrangled that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was just, you know, similar to what they, you know, kind of how Tommy Lee Jones' character from The Fugitive got another movie. I would have been interested to see if they could have done that with this character.
Yeah. Okay, but we can both agree that U.S. Marshals, as fun as it is, it's still another Fugitive.
It's not.
You know,
it would have been very .
And a lot of it feels as if it's just rehashing things from The Fugitive. Even though Samuel Gerard is a great character and I love him, and Tommy Lee Jones plays him amazingly.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, and I'm not expecting them to rehash Die Hard 3, but I would have been
Well, they unfortunately can't because you know, from what I understand about Bruce Willis, he's not coming back.
No, anymore.
No. And we don't want anyone else playing these characters.
Of course.
At least I don't. Maybe you do.
No, thank you.
Exactly. And then basically Zeus continues and says, "How the hell should I know McClane?" And then John says, "Well, who's going to St. Ives then?" "The guy. Just the guy."
Just one guy.
And that's the way they end. That's the way they end this minute. It's a great cliffhanger, you know, to leave the minute at this.
Yes, point. I will say all 5 minutes that we're going to be working on this week have that element to them.
Yes, they do. They do. All right. So, do you have anything else for this minute, or do you want to go? We should go into.
Let's
the
move
script.
On. Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So the script is slightly different. We're going to find out tomorrow how different it is, but today we'll at least go with what they have here. So it says, McClane stares at Zeus. What was it? 7 wives at St. Ives? Shut up. I'm good at this stuff. There were 7 wives with 7 sacks, right? Shut the fuck up, McClane. McClane shuts up. Zeus's mind is going overdrive. 7 wives with 7 sacks is 49 sacks. What was the rest? Something about cats and kittens. Right. Every sack has 7 cats. That's 49 sacks with 7 cats each, which is 342 cats. Each cat has 7 kittens, so it's 342 cats with 7 kittens each, which is 2,401 kittens. Easy. Dial 555-2401. Are you sure? Dial. And then McClane says, he said kittens, cats, sacks, and wives. You're right. So it's, let's see, 7 wives, 49 sacks, 342 cats, and 2,000... Then it says he does the addition in his head. 2,800. McClane punches the numbers, looks at his watch. We're not going to make it. And that's the way the script ends.
Oh, okay.
Again, I like the tension in the movie better because we can hear the animosity between these characters and the way they argue with one another and stuff like that. It comes out much clearer in the movie than it does in the script itself.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the Samuel L. Jackson, Bruce Willis nuances.
Yeah, yeah. You know? And also, these actors are strong enough that I wouldn't be surprised if McTiernan said, okay, you know where you need to go, and just had them improv this over and over again until they got it right.
Yeah, it's very possible. Very possible. All right, so every Monday we have a segment called McTiernan Monday, where my guests will give their top five John McTiernan films. So, Eddie, why don't you start with your number five and work your way up?
Sure. Yeah, yeah. And I was a little worried at first when I saw McTiernan only directed 11 films, but I thankfully have seen most of them. and also, sorry to plug another podcast I have nothing to do with. I don't know if you listen to Blank Check, which is a podcast where they go through directors' filmographies. And they're currently, as of we're recording, they're putting out their John McTiernan series. So,
Wow.
And that's a great podcast. And they do very like long 2.5-3 hour deep dives into each movie.
That's it? Only 2.5 hours talking about a movie?
Yeah.
I talk 80 hours about a movie. Yeah. You know.
So I've had a lot very long conversations about John McTiernan running in my head for the last few months, so my number five is Predator. Excellent action movie and really just top of that like 80s era. My number four, which I'm sure is going to be controversial, is Last Action Hero. I feel I was five when that movie came out, and I feel like and it ran on HBO forever, and I feel like I was the perfect age to understand to get that movie. I just love the humor of it. Number three is the original Die Hard. Which, of course, you and I have had, have had conversations about and check out past seasons to.
We have.
Yes, we have. number two is The Hunt for Red October. The first and for my money, the best Tom Clancy adaptation. Number one is the movie that we're discussing today, Die Hard with a Vengeance.
All right, very cool. There seems to be a pattern with the answers that most of my guests have given, so
oh,
far.
Oh, really? Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, there's only a few little discrepancies so far. Now, I'm not talking about the numbers. I'm talking about what movies appear.
Oh, what?
Like basically, it's pretty much the same five movies.
Yeah.
That most people are referring to.
Yeah,
there are a few discrepancies here and there, but this is the way.
I mean,
all right, great.
Yeah, McTiernan had an excellent run through that. I mean, that decade between 87 and 95. And I know Last Action Hero was admonished, but I feel like it's developed a cult following in the years since.
Okay, that's fair. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to tell you what I think about it because. That'll ruin, when I eventually
oh,
get my,
I'm sure.
my list. So, maybe it's there, maybe it's not. Maybe it's at the top, maybe it's at the bottom.
Yeah. I'm sure.
You'll have to come back at minute 129 in order to hear my rankings.
I'm curious to hear how many people rank Die Hard with a Vengeance higher than Die Hard.
So far, you are the second person to do so.
Okay.
But again, that's only two of two of
yeah.
six. So we even had someone not rank Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Oh, okay.
Yes. All right, great. So, Eddie, would you like to tell people where they can find
you? Yeah, you can find me currently on X, on at Little Eddie O'Hare, and I am currently working on a podcast that we're hoping to launch by the end of this year. I don't really want to give away too much, but just to say that it's has to do with talking about movies. So be on the lookout for that in the future.
You talk about movies? Hmm. Wow, interesting. All right. Mm-hmm. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. My website is movierobminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, just shoot an email out to movierobminute@movierob.net. So until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Tony comes marching home again. Hoorah, hoorah. We'll give him a hearty welcome then. Hoorah, hoorah. The men will cheer, the boys will shout. The ladies, they will all turn out. And we'll all feel glad when Johnny comes marching home.